Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. Tonight's topic is emotional intelligence. At the core of this topic is the character of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, through which we take our lessons from. For those who want to learn about it, and it is imperative to study the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his character. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expresses in the Quran, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah addresses the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, and indeed surely you are on a most magnificent character, O Muhammad. There is no one who has better character than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had the best character when it came to emotional intelligence. What is emotional intelligence? Emotional intelligence, my dear brothers and sisters, is a modern term. It's not an old term, it's a modern term that was coined a few decades ago by psychologists. And what it is that it describes our ability and skill to recognize and understand, as well as perceive and influence our own emotions and other people's emotions. Once again, it is a term in modern psychology that describes our ability to recognize, understand, and manage our own emotions, as well as perceive, understand, and influence the emotions of others and work with it. It is not just being nice and friendly. That is not emotional intelligence. It's just being kind and friendly. But about truly being aware of how feelings affect our thoughts, our behaviors, and other people around us. My brothers and sisters, this is crucial and important for every Muslim and every individual to learn. Because life is full of emotional ups and downs. People vary in their emotions and their attitudes and mindsets, their experiences and their pasts, their own personalities and the way that they were born and what they went with. You get married and you have to deal with these emotions between you and your spouse, you and your children, you and your parents, you and your in-laws, your family, your colleagues at work, at school, whether you're a child in kindergarten, you deal with it. Whether you are in primary school or in high school or university, or you are working with the enemy against the enemy, or you are working with somebody who hates you, or you hate them, or you love each other, or you are against the enemy, or you're negotiating, or it's leadership in a country, or in a job, or in the mosque, or between the Muslims, anywhere you end, every facet of life, there is the requirement of emotional intelligence. There is a difference, however, between emotional intelligence and IQ. You know, the IQ? IQ and technical intelligence are two different things. They are needed, but they are not the same as emotional intelligence. You can have a high IQ, you know how things work, but you're not able to necessarily have the skills and ability to have interdisciplinary relationships with others. Not easy to resolve problems. It's not enough to make you a leader, for example. Not enough to make you regulate yourself. For emotional intelligence is the key and more important than all of them. And now when people hire others to work for them in their companies or you want to hold a position, one of the first things that they look at is your level of emotional intelligence. Are you aware of your own emotions and strengths and weaknesses? Are you aware what triggers you and what doesn't? Are you aware of how much control you have over yourself? Can you regulate? Can you control and channel the emotions when they come at you, heavy or light? And are you able to fix when your emotions took the better of you? Then are you aware? How much do you know about other people's emotions and mindsets? Do you have much experience in that? Have you engaged with people a lot? Have you made errors and mistakes? Have you allowed yourself to learn about personalities and people's emotion? And then how much can you regulate your response and how you respond to them in their different changing emotional personalities? It is a very complex skill and ability. And each person has different levels of emotional intelligence, so don't beat yourself up on it. But try your best to improve in the different areas which we are going to discuss, inshallah. I highly recommend a book which combines emotional intelligence with purely the seerah of the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It brings it together and links each emotional intelligence practice with an example from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is a book called Enjoy Your Life. Some of you may have seen it before. Enjoy Your Life by Dr. Muhammad Al-Arifi. And that book is based on a book that was written for the West. It's called How to Influence People and Make Friends by Dale Carnegie. And these two books, brothers and sisters, are books that I digested and practiced and learned very well that served me bi-idhnillah, by the will of Allah, tremendously. Of course, learning the Qur'an and how the Qur'an speaks. For those of you who understand the Qur'an, you will see that the Qur'an addresses the emotional aspects of human beings throughout, from beginning to end. From beginning to end. And creates the motivation for it. The Qur'an addresses the ego and the emotion. And then it invites you and speaks to you. There is a verse in the Qur'an where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the way He created us. He said, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Allah says, look at the nafs, the human being, the person, the inner self, and how God has fashioned it. He gave it all the ingredients and tendencies to do acts of piety and magnificence and taqwa. And He gave it the tendency and the ingredients to also go down the path of evil and lowliness. He who purifies his nafs, himself, has succeeded and is triumphant. And he who obeys every emotion and desire in themselves has destroyed himself and failed. So, this human being, you and I, need to learn about how to interact and regulate these emotions and be aware of them. Because in each and every one of us, there is a wahash. Ever heard of wahash before? Some people write it on their number plate. Wahash. Beast. He's a beast. Savage. We all have a savage characteristic inside of us. Every single one of us. We have a monstrous reaction, but the thing is, you just have to trigger it at the right time, the right place. But of course, learning and experimenting and practicing and learning the Qur'an, learning the seerah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and this topic will help us lessen that, and we can easily fix without causing too much damage. My brothers and sisters, so as we said, EQ, or emotional intelligence, is considered a modern concept. As I said, the values and behaviors it describes were lived and taught by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam 1400 years ago. His life is the ultimate example of emotional wisdom, mercy, patience, and kindness, qualities at the core of emotional intelligence. There is a downside to highly emotional, intelligent people, though. You have to be aware of the downside of being too emotionally intelligent. And that is, number one, it can make a person avoid dealing with conflicts in order to keep the peace and the harmony. They say, look, we'll just avoid it, we won't talk about it, even though it needs to be spoken about. But just to keep the peace, make everybody believe they're right. But you cannot maintain that. Chaos happens. So some things have to be addressed, and you have to face saying harsh things sometimes with respect and frank things. Highly intelligent people can get into the problem of unhealthy boundaries. They may not set the boundaries around them and around others. They may let people cross their boundaries constantly and use them and abuse them, or use and abuse others in the name of keeping the peace and harmony. And also it can create poor decision making. Why? Because a person who's highly emotionally intelligent may be thinking about other people's feelings, and they're highly empathetic, they've got high empathy. Oh, you know, look, you got to understand they're coming from a certain place. That's one thing. But then decision making becomes a problem. Sometimes they have to make really drastic decisions. And that's why when you work in professions like medicine, a doctor, a lawyer, and when you're in a position of leadership, you've got to make tough decisions sometimes. And some people may experience some pain or hurt as a result. It may be uncomfortable and inconvenient for you or other people, but sometimes important decisions have to be made. If you have too much reliance on emotional empathy, then it can play a role in making bad decisions. So be aware of that. And the idea is to have a balanced emotional intelligence setting in your mind. If you learn martial arts, whether you go to jiu-jitsu or you learn kickboxing or judo or taekwondo, maybe. I'm just joking. Taekwondo, any kind of discipline sport, anything. They're always focusing first and foremost on disciplining your emotions. You can't react. If you react, you'll lose. So it's all in all areas. My brothers and sisters, I would like to quote to you a beautiful hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is in Sahih, which is in Bukhari and Muslim. He said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that every person is born in various emotions and character. النَّاسُ مَعَادٍ كَمَعَادٍ الْفِضَّةِ وَالذَّهَبِ. People are like metals, different types of metal, just like silver and gold, for example, which means people are born with personalities and habits, or they acquire habits and emotions as they grow older, and then they start varying like the way metal varies. You got gold and silver, you got other types of metal, you can probably shine it and it'll look nicer than the gold, but at the end of the day, still metal, still steel, for example. But you can get the gold and shine it up and it looks even better. Or the gold can look unattractive, but it's still gold, for example. So different people are like different metals. Some have a higher character, some middle, some less. Some are impurified with other bad characteristics. So Rasulullah ﷺ told us this so that we know that interacting with people requires flexibility and requires us to learn this aspect in order to get along in life. Another hadith, which is in Tirmidhi, in hadith al-Sahih, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam from a amount of clay from the earth. And so the children of Adam came out from the essence of the earth. And so among human beings, there came different colors, and among the human beings came different personalities, attitudes, and emotions. Some are prone to more sadness, others are more prone to easygoingness, others are more prone to toughness and stubbornness, and so on. Just like the different textures of clay and soil in the earth. Hard clay, light clay, soft clay, all of that. But this does not mean that human beings are born unchangeable. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not tell us and teach us to increase in our good character. The Prophet, peace be upon him, would not encourage it. He will just say, you can't do anything about yourself, you're born that way. No, that's not true. But we are tested with some of the traits that we inherit from our parents sometimes. And sometimes we're tested because of our unfortunate circumstance of who we end up with, the type of school we go to, the family we grow up with, the friends and circles that we have around us, the experiences, traumas, calamities and hardships that we've gone through. They all affect our behavior. And that is why we need to go back to the Quran, back to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, back to our Salah, back to where the environments we remind us of Allah and the hereafter is. All these things help us to regulate our emotions and we can increase, inshallah. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further describes Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 107. We have not sent you, O Muhammad, except as a mercy to the worlds. And this verse, brothers and sisters, highlights that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's personality was the ultimate example of mercy and emotional mastery, qualities at the heart of emotional intelligence. And Allah says in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ There has come to you in the Messenger of Allah a very good role model for you to emulate. For whoever hopes to attain the high position in the hereafter with Allah and Paradise. My brothers and sisters, emotional intelligence can be summed up in five different parts or five different aspects. Each one of these we will discuss now, and each one of them is an area that each and every one of us needs to, inshallah, improve on, learn about, and work on themselves. Of course, Allah does not expect perfection. Nobody's perfect. You can't read minds, you can't read hearts. But with practice, inshallah, and lowering our guards and ego, we will get there, inshallah ta'ala. A Muslim is humble. And the verse that we read before, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا And the true worshippers of Allah are the ones who walk on earth with humility and humbleness. Not humility as in degrading their dignity, no. Humility means that they are humble and modest. If they make mistakes, they say, I acknowledge my mistake, how can I improve it? If they know they got weaknesses, they say, this is a weakness, how can I improve it? If someone gives them genuine advice, they're able to take that advice, even if the person was harsh. It was narrated that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu used to say, Rahim Allahu mru'un ahda ilayya uyubi. May Allah bless and have mercy on any person who gifts me my bad traits. Comes and tells me, Umar, this is a bad trait and you need to fix it. He used to make dua for a person and he called it a gift. And that's a very high emotionally intelligent person and regulates it very well. So here are the five main aspects or parts of emotional intelligence. Number one, self-awareness. To have emotional intelligence, you need to start by being aware of yourself, knowing your own emotions and understanding their impact. Number two, self-regulation. We said that already. And it is controlling your emotions and your impulses, responding thoughtfully. This is a big one. A lot of us Muslims have knee-jerk reaction. Bang. So you need to learn how to take breaths, think, take time, and respond. Number three, emotional intelligence involves motivation. You need to find an inner drive to act with purpose and sincerity. Number four, we need to learn empathy. Empathy is understanding and sharing the feelings of others with compassion, trying to put ourselves in other people's shoes. And number five, we need to learn about social skills, how to interact with people socially and things around us. And that involves building positive relationships, communicating effectively, and resolving conflicts. Otherwise, you're going to fail as a husband, you're going to fail as a wife, you'll fail as a father and a mother, you'll fail as a son or a daughter. Because you're dealing with people with all these five aspects. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the believer who mixes with people in order to be active and teach and spread goodness in Islam is far more better and more valuable to Allah than a believer who isolates from the people, doesn't do anything except worrying about themselves. Both of them are believers, but one is highly more valued and loved by Allah, the other one is less loved. So there's a big difference. So let's deal with the first one, self-awareness. The way to know yourself, one of the ways that I practiced myself, is I have a habit of asking friends who I trust and family members who I know will give me intelligent advice. And I have a habit of asking my own parents, believe it or not, sometimes my own little children, about my behavior. And believe it or not, I'll just give myself as an example. You can practice this if you like, just to encourage the brothers, because I'm a man, you know, we men, we kind of find it hard to accept advice sometimes, some of us. So I'll share it with you, a brother to a brother, and our sisters. I sometimes journal things, meaning I write any feedback I got about my behavior or my reactions. When you write it, you remember it better, and you become more aware and focused on it. The other day I took my daughter on a trip. We went on a holiday together. And I used to sit with her every night and say, okay, tell me about my behavior today. When we went in the elevator and so-and-so was in there, how was I? When I said such a thing, when we ordered food, you know, the hotel that we got, did I complain? How was I? And subhanAllah, the amount of feedback you get is tremendous. I have notes in here. I've got a whole essay about myself. One, next time do this. Number two, you got triggered with that. Number three, you didn't realize that. Sometimes you'd be sitting at a restaurant and or a cafe or some place eating halal food in a halal environment. And you see a friend of yours who you have known for a while, but for the first time, you see them, they complain too much about the food and how late it was and about the waiter and about so on and so forth. And then you advise them. And a lot of people don't realize this about themselves. Sometimes you don't realize it about yourself. And I remind you of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is in, I assume it's in Sahih Muslim, it's a Sahih hadith. Al-mu'minu mir'ata akhihi al-mu'min. The believer is the mirror of his believing brother or sister. Al-mu'minu akhu al-mu'min. Then he said, believer is the brother and sister of another believer. Yakuffu alayhi dayatahu wa yahutuhu min wara'ihi. He always is there to prevent harm from coming to their brothers and sisters if they can. And they're always looking out for them when they're not looking. That is true brotherhood. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. If you want to know the meaning of what is ukhuwa, what is brotherhood in Islam, just read Surah Al-Asr, last two verses, وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ. And they advise and enjoin and remind and motivate, encourage each other to stick to what is truth. What is truth for us? The Quran and the Sunnah. And number two, وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. And not only that, they motivate, assist and support each other, encourage each other to remain consistent and patient and persevere. That is true brotherhood. Self-awareness, my dear brothers and sisters, is the ability to recognize and understand your own emotions, thoughts and behaviors. It means being honest with yourself about how you feel and why. Why you feel that way? Why did I? Why? Where did this come from? And how those feelings affect your decisions and your actions. Right now, as you're sitting here, you can think about past bad decisions you made, whether it was with your wife or husband, whether it was with your children or your parents, at work, with your colleagues or at school, anywhere, or a trade or a business, anything that anyone you interacted with. Think back and scrutinize yourself. Ask yourself, why did I do that? Was it a lack of knowledge? Was it my assumption? Did I jump to conclusions? Was it that I have already my preconceived knowledge? Like, is that how I was raised with my parents? Who came into my mind when I did that? Was it my dad? You know how sometimes we're in a situation and we don't know what to do. I don't know if this happens to you, it happens to me. I think about someone, what would they do in my place? And sometimes I think, how would my dad respond? How would my friend so-and-so respond? How would someone that I look up to? And sometimes I would react in the way I think they would respond. That sometimes works, sometimes it doesn't. So figure out what's going on, and inshallah, improve, do a YouTube, go on YouTube, for example, you might listen to courses about Majnun, read a book, something. So, it is therefore the foundation of emotional growth and balanced responses. You know, brothers and sisters, there was about people who aren't really aware of themselves much. Majority of people, if you do a test for them about self-awareness, did a quiz, self-awareness, most people, 95% of people, studies showed that they think they know themselves. But when they did the tests in a study, it was no more, they didn't know more than about 40% about themselves. They don't really know themselves. They think they know themselves. I know a story of one Muslim scholar and psychologist. He said he had a friend back at uni days, and his friend had high empathy. He used to feel and think about other people's emotions too much. He would invest too much in it and make it his own problem. He got too far with it that he wasn't aware of himself and his boundaries. He thought of himself as the savior of mankind. So the man said, I'm going to become a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a counselor or something. Now his friend, this intelligent one, he said to him, don't do it. That's not for you. It's not for everybody. You're not able to handle it. He said, no, I've got lots of empathy. I've got emotional intelligence. But he wasn't aware of himself. So after he finished, he started his counseling. Subhanallah, within I don't know, a number of years, maybe 7-8 years, he married about 9 women and divorced them, one after the other. Marriage, divorce, marriage, divorce. Why? When he used to counsel them. And when he counseled them, their problems and whatever, he saw himself as the solution for them. So he'd marry them thinking, I'll take you out of your misery. But subhanAllah, they'd end up divorcing, would have worked 9 times. I don't know if this is a hadith, but it's a wise word from the predecessors, from the Salaf al-Salih. They say, رحم الله امرئ عرف قدره فوقف عنده. May Allah have mercy and bless a person who is aware of their own strengths and boundaries, their abilities, and they respect it, they stop there. For awareness is important of the self. The Prophet ﷺ said, quick hadiths, I have been sent to perfect good character, Muwatta Malik. And this shows he was aware, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about the importance of moral and emotional refinement. Another example of his life, when receiving the first revelation, maybe, as we know, popularly it was Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, we all know the first ayah that he received. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as you know, he expressed his fear and confusion to Khadija radiallahu anha, showing self-awareness and openness about his emotional state. Number two, he often retreated to the cave of Hira. Why? To reflect and understand about his inner self. A lot of people these days in the modern world, rather than reflecting inwards and being honest with themselves, they get scared. They fear their own selves, so they distract themselves by covering up with distractions in the world and never getting to hone in to their inner emotions. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam acknowledged his human nature, such as grief. When, we have an example, when his son Ibrahim died at the age of 2, he went into the grave and buried him, and he had told his companions to not wail or cry excessively when they're grieving, but then he cried sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one of the companions said, Ya Rasulullah, atabki wa qad nahaytana anil buka? You're crying when you told us not to do that? And he said, no, that's not what I meant. My tears come from a source of mercy. This is compassion. The one I told you about is wailing, meaning detesting the qadr of Allah, detesting the destiny and the fate that Allah has brought. That's different. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed his emotion at the grave of his mother, Amina. They said, Ya Rasulullah, tell us what you are crying about so we can cry with you. He said, this is the grave of your mother, of the mother of your prophet. And I asked Allah for certain things for her. He denied me, but he allowed me to visit her. He said, in the meaning of, I got touched by what a child gets touched by when remembering the compassion and mercy of their mother. For Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew his inner emotions and talked about them, but not always. There was a time when Aisha radiallahu anha asked him, Ya Rasulullah, tell me about the worst time you ever endured. More than Uhud, the day of Uhud. And he said to her only a few sentences. Said, I endured the most from your people, meaning it's an Arabic word, it wasn't her people, but her people as in our people, from Ta'if. Ta'if, when they hurt the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know the story. And at the end of it, he had the angel of the mountain saying, I will crush them, Ya Rasulullah. And he said, no, leave them alone. For maybe out of their progeny, there will be those who will worship Allah and become righteous people. The point that I mentioned this hadith is because I want to illustrate, he did not talk in detail to Khadija radiallahu anha about his incident. So it's good emotional intelligence that if you go through problems and hardship, not to keep talking about it a lot with other people, not to express everything, not to talk details. Some people think you've got to get it off your chest. This is only in very specific circumstances, brothers and sisters. It's for someone who gives you good advice when you can't bear it. But just to go randomly and just keep talking and talking actually has a reverse effect. It creates more stress for you and more grief. An example is when people have been together, married for a long time, and then they get divorced. It's very common that people can't regulate their emotions in the first couple of years of divorce. Every friend they see and every person, they're just talking. This is haram, yani. You can't just continue doing that. But you talk to someone who can help you, and a little bit, talking too much about it will actually make you sicker. He knew sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to seek counsel and was not ashamed to admit his need for support. The example is again, a cave of Hira, when he went to Khadija radiallahu anha and said, cover me up and blanket me. He was shivering and scared. And she said, let me take you to my cousin Waraq ibn Nawfal. He knows the scripture, maybe he can give you advice. And he accepted it. He went and got advice. He used to say to his companions, Ashiru alay, give me your opinions. And he would sometimes take it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was humble with that. For brothers and sisters, if he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was like that, we should be too. Now be careful of one note I want to make here. We often get drowned by our emotions when there is intense love or intense hate for someone. Or when we love ourselves too much or hate ourselves too much. It is reported from Ali radiallahu anhu. He used to say beautiful words, احبب حبيبك باعتدال. If you love someone, anyone, in the beginning, love them with reservation. Don't let all your love go out. Meaning, don't serve and do everything according to the love that you feel. Hold back a little bit in the beginning. Why? He said, فَقَدْ يَكُونُ بَغِيضُكَ يَوْمًا مَا. For maybe in the near future, that person will disappoint you and become the most hated to you. So take it easy on your heart. You might break it too much. And then he said, وَأَبْغَضْ بَغِيضَكَ بِاعْتِدَالِ. If you dislike someone or hate them, reserve your hatred for them a little bit. Don't let it all out. فَقَدْ يَكُونُ حَبِيبُكَ يَوْمًا مَا. For one day they may become the closest, most beloved to you. So this is an emotional intelligence that we learn from the Sahabas, from the companions, about slowly. And this is good for teenagers as well who go to high school. Being my teaching background and career in education, I can share with you, a lot of teenagers, those of you who are here today, even some people who are in their early 20s, emotional regulation is a challenge for you at the moment, especially as your brain is developing. We're not calling you incapacitated, we're just saying normally you are learning, alhamdulillah, And if you feel that your emotions are getting the better of you, please don't think that something's wrong with you. It's just development, alhamdulillah, and we need to support you, and you are amazing. But the front part of your brain is still growing. That's the part which you make mature decisions, and you regulate your fears and so on. So sometimes you may make friends, and sometimes you may give them everything. You may tell them all your secrets, and you may get too close to them. And what happens is that they could be manipulative, or maybe your friendship could end, and then they use what you told them. So be careful how much you give and what you say, and draw circles and say, which circle will I put my friend in? One man came to Umar radiallahu anhu, and he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I recommend so-and-so. He is of high character and God-fearing personality. He said, maybe you saw him bowing a lot and making sujood, prostrating in the mosque a lot. Or maybe he reads Quran a lot and appears pious. He said, yes, he does all that. He said, you don't know him. You don't know him, sorry. Just because he goes to the mosque and he prays and looks religious, he's on his deen. That's what people do now. They get married. They go, I want someone on their deen. Tayyib, that's good. But what is, do you understand what being on the deen is? Character is the core of deen. So he said, you don't know him. How? He said, did you travel with him? No. Have you ever dealt with money with him, business? No. Have you ever lived with him? No. He said, la ta'rifu, you don't know him. Truly, you know people when you're close to them and you spend long times with them. But be careful with these things, inshallah. We move on to part number two, self-regulation. So the first part is what? Self-awareness. The next one is self-regulation. What is regulation? Meaning how to control your emotions, how you let them out. Self-regulation is the ability to manage and control your emotions, especially in challenging situations. Hardship, grief, anger, hate, love, treatment, goals, ambitions, at work, competition, all these areas. It involves pausing before reacting, controlling anger, and responding with patience and wisdom. What is patience? Most people misunderstand patience still. They think that patience is a weakness. They think that patience means let them slap me out, let them step on my face, let them swear at me. No, that's not patience, that's stupidity. Patience meaning you control your emotions and wait to decide on what the best course of action is. And patience means you do not let yourself get drawn into the same level of character or the same bad energy of that person that they're giving out. If they're swearing at you, you start swearing. Well, you failed. You're the same as them. That's not patience. For brothers and sisters, patience means to hold yourself back and do the right course of action. That's maturity at its highest level. So self-regulation prevents harm to relationships and perseveres dignity. Wallahi, sometimes when a person wants to manipulate you or try to get around you, just by pausing and not saying anything is the most powerful answers. Someone sends you an emotionally fueled email. You're a hypocrite, you're a this, you're a that, and all of blah, 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 blah. Don't respond. One wise person told me once, keep the email for 2 days before responding. Wallahi, everything changes. And sometimes they would respond and think for themselves. One brother, he said to me, Ya akhi, my wife, she just vents all the time. I said, let her vent. But, I said, let her vent. But this, but I go, don't take any action. Just let her vent and listen. But it's this, just smile. How can you smile? Akhi, don't smile. Just move on. But you don't have to react to everything. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam displayed remarkable self-regulation throughout his life, even when faced with immense hostility, insult, and hardship. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, people's emotional reactions are based on irrational assumption. We learned this in school. One lecturer that I attended at university talking about student management, I still remember this word. He says, when you walk into the classroom, don't assume. Don't assume about your students. You don't know what background they have, what's happened at home, what they're saying. Don't assume. Not everything's an attack, not everything. So irrational assumptions make you react wrongly. Reacting based on fear or confusion, or some people, conspiracy theories. They base conspiracy theories and they start reacting. And some people read a few hadiths about the signs of the last hour, for example. They give it their own interpretation, or they listen to some lecture which agrees with their own beliefs. It's called confirmation bias. Yes, wallahi, he said the haqq. Whose haqq? What, your haqq, yani? The haqq. It's what I've always said. Ah, you've always said that. Yani, the guy just agreed with what you've always said. It's about you. Be careful with these things, brothers and sisters. Be careful. Sometimes we Arabs, we have this a lot. Wallahi, it's the truth. He said the truth, Allahu Akbar. No. What he said was what I think is the truth. If he went against me, had al khabith, this dirty person, had al khanzir, this pig, had this person. Why? It did not agree with my teachings. Ya akhi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُ. Do not let your hatred or despise or hostility to a people swerve you away from being fair and just. أَعْدِلُ. Be fair and just. There's a common rule. Practice not to make decisions during sadness, excitement, and anger. Sadness, excitement, and anger. And guess what? If you want to get married, and you get engaged, and you've done all the tests and questions and all that stuff, wait a little bit. Watch for any times, three, when they're sad, when they're excited, and when they're angry. Listen to what they talk. Listen to how they react. You'll know a person much better. Also, during hardships and calamities, resort to patience and salah, dua and Quran, social support, family and trusted circle. It will pass, inshallah. Do not react based on anxieties. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the strong is not the one who overcomes people by his strength, but the strong is the one who controls himself when angry. Sahih Bukhari. Did anyone hear the word, the one who does not get angry? What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say exactly? The one who controls. Barakallahu fiqh. That means we get angry and it's normal. I had a radio interview 3 years ago, and he immediately asked me, we hear that when you fast, it helps your anger, you know, you don't get angry. I said, of course we get angry. When you fast, you get angrier. He says, and what's the story? I said, no, but the thing is, if you endure in your lowest state, and you practice and you control, then when you're eating, you'll get better at anger. It's like resistance exercise. You shock your muscle at first, it hurts, there's pain, there's swearing, there's all of that. But the next time, inshallah, your muscle is more tolerant. So it's supposed to make us more tolerant. Now, with us, my people, the Arabs, I don't think anything works. But anyway, we'll keep going. Some people will say, why are you talking about your Arabs? No, we are, mashallah. The Quran was sent upon the Arabs, yeah? But it's sent to, and maybe they needed it the most, Allahu Akbar. When asked for advice, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La taghdab, do not get angry." Yeah, the person gets angry, but when you say "do not get angry," remember the statement I said last week: aim for the stars, you'll land on the moon. Yeah, and put your goals high, you'll get halfway there, inshallah. Examples from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam: there was a companion by the name of Damad al-Azdi, radiyallahu anhu. Hadith in Sahih Muslim. He used to do ruqya before Islam, before the Quran was sent. I shouldn't say before Islam, because Islam's been there since Adam alayhi salam. But before, yani, the Prophet of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this man used to do spiritual healing. But he used to do it using the jinns, and using sorcery. But he used it for good, which is still haram. It's still shirk, it's still polytheism. He would call upon spirits and jinns and use words of polytheism. And he would invoke the jinns to heal people from their inner thoughts and channel their brain to think in a certain direction or whatever. So if somebody was insane, had a disorder, was crazy, they were thought to be possessed, they would call him. And he was a leader of a people. So in Mecca, they used to talk about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being crazy, as being insane, as being stricken with sorcery, as being a poet, and all these words is saying, they're voodoo and so on. This is the rumor they made about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Till today, those who hate Islam, those who are Islamophobic, those who haven't read about Islam, or those who just want to attack Islam, they still use this old age rhetoric. Anyway, this man, he really thought Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was crazy and insane, maybe possessed, maybe a poet. So he wanted to do good, that's his intention. He went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Ya Muhammad, I will give you a ruqya, I'll give you an exorcism to take away the insanity and disorders, or maybe your possession." Now, if you tell someone, if someone told you that, "Hey, come here, let me give you a ruqya, you look like you're possessed," you'd be infuriated. Infuriated. Rated to be infuriated. Stop my bad jokes. So then what happened? He said to him, "Let me read on you if you're possessed." How did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam respond? He responded with the following words: "Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh." Indeed, all gratitude, thanks and praise is to Allah, the only God. We all praise and seek His gratitude, and we all praise and show gratitude and thanks to Him, and we all seek His support. "Man yahdihi Allahu fala mudilla lah." Whomever Allah guides and supports in guidance, no one can mislead. "وَمَن يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ." And whoever Allah leaves to their misguidance, then no one can guide them. "وَأَشْهَدُ أَن لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ." And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except the one true God, Allah. "وَحْدَهُ." The only one. "لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ." No partners to Him. "وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ." And that Muhammad is His messenger and servant. "أَمَّا بَعَدْ." As to what follows. The companion, Damad, he said, stop. Repeat what you said. So he repeated it. He said, "Repeat it again." Repeated it. He said, "Repeat it a third time." And he listened very carefully. The man was extremely eloquent in Arabic. They know the difference between this or that. He said, "I have traveled the world and met with every sorcerer that is known, every magician, every poet. Not one of them speaks like this. These are not words of poetry, nor sorcery, nor voodoo, nor of a person who is crazy nor possessed. And I have met many insane people. Those words are deeper than the ocean itself in meaning. They are eloquent and comprehensive. Please put your hand out, O Messenger of Allah. I pledge allegiance." And he became a Muslim. And all his tribes became a Muslim. This is the story of this companion. The point from this hadith that I mentioned, this story, is the Prophet's emotional intelligence and reaction. The man hurt him with his words, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could understand from his experience this man comes from a good place. He truly wants to help the Prophet, peace be upon him, in a way that he knows. And he heard about him that he does ruqya to help people. Remember last time I told you about some students who I've counseled before, and they tell me some things about Islam that's horrific. If anyone heard them, they'll say they're kuffar. They're disbelievers. But I give them time. Why? Because many of us, many young people, this generation, have been taught the wrong version of Islam. So emotional intelligence is to see, okay, where is this all coming from? Is it mistreatment? Is it whatever? Some of them may have a father or a mother who are meant to be religious, but unfortunately they may be very bad in their character and they abuse them. So they end up hating Islam itself. So we have to be patient with them. That's how Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. By the way, this dua that I just mentioned, in alhamdulillah, we say it in the khutbah, is called dua al-haja. It is the dua of need. Anything you need, if you say this dua, inshallah your needs will be settled. And because of this sahabi, this dua was made. A Bedouin pulled the cloak of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith in Bukhari, a Muslim is wearing a harsh fabric, Yemeni cloak. When a Bedouin came up to him and pulled it, getting his attention, the Sahabi, who is the companion, is narrating the story, says, "I saw the mark on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's neck." The Prophet turned to him and he smiled. It's like, what are you doing? "Ya Allah, here, give him some money." The man was poor, he was in need. He knew the Bedouins had a harsh personality. Trying to teach him wasn't going to work. So the way he taught him was with a smile. The man said, "Bi abi anta wa ummi." I would ransom my mother and father for you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a Bedouin urinating in the masjid. They wanted to bash him up. He said, stop, leave him, let him finish. It's a normal thing, everyone needs to urinate. So they said, get some bucket, wash it. Afterwards, he called him in private and said, that's not a place for it. He said, Wallahi ya Rasulullah, I didn't know this was the mosque. I'm a Bedouin in the desert. We see a pillar, we go for it. He said to him, no, that's not a place. He said, Bi abi anta wa ummi. I'd ransom my mother and father. No one has ever approached me the way you approached. That's emotional intelligence. He responded to insults with kindness, never retaliation. When companions complained about difficulties or faults, he advised them calmly to exercise patience. He calmly mediated conflicts during battles and disagreements, guiding his followers towards peace. They said to him, Ya Rasulullah, make dua against the disbelievers. He said, I was not sent as a curser. In the Battle of Uhud, the Prophet ﷺ was injured and almost killed. He got up, he was angry, and then he calmed down. And he was wiping his face from the blood that was spilling and saying, Allahumma ihdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. My Lord, guide my people, they just do not know. They just do not know. So when he came to his rights, Rasulullah ﷺ was intelligent that way. But of course, he had boundaries as well. Once he was on the horse, on the camel, and then riding, and with him was a young companion. He was erratic in the way he's riding, and then he kept going back and forth, distracted. The Prophet ﷺ is telling him, focus, focus, until his camel bumped into the leg of the Prophet ﷺ, and it hurt him. The most that Rasul ﷺ did was, he said, when the companion saw it, he felt very bad. Ya Rasulullah, he said, keep riding, just keep going. That's as much as the Rasul ﷺ would react in his emotions. But when it came to deen and Islam and violation, Rasulullah ﷺ would get angry with, because the deen of Allah, especially the rights of people. We move on to part number three, and we're almost done. Motivation. In order to have emotional intelligence, you need to have motivation on the inside. We as Muslims get motivated by the hereafter, by the promise of Allah, by the forgiveness of Allah, by the rewards of Allah. Remember last time I told you, people who get angry, why do they get angry? They get angry because they feel that one of their rights was taken and they want it back. And I gave the example of someone in a traffic crossing in front of you. You think, why? This was my way. So you get angry. Why? Because that's your way. Now you want that right back. You want to be compensated. That's the human being. That's why you're getting angry. So when I think and I say, Ya akhi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised me this and that, alhamdulillah, Allah compensates me. And this situation, it's a minor situation. Why do I have to lose my immune system over it for the next 2 days? Why? And there's a study that shows when you get angry a lot, you get frustrated, your immune system is compromised for the next 6 hours or so. The other person has just crossed and they're happy, sleeping nicely tonight, and you and I are infuriating ourselves and getting sick. The Prophet ﷺ was motivated solely by his mission to guide humanity and serve Allah despite intense opposition. He said, the most beloved people to Allah are the most beneficial to others. He patiently endured persecution, poverty, and exile for the sake of his message. He encouraged his companions to work hard and support each other. Despite his own hardships, he gave generously in charity. When rejected in Ta'if, as I said, he made dua for them. He personally helped in community tasks like carrying wood, showing motivation by example. This is how you increase your emotional awareness and your character, inshallah, by giving and by helping. Part number four is empathy. Empathy is the ability to feel and understand what others are going through and to respond with kindness, mercy, and compassion. It is the heart of good interpersonal relationships and social harmony. Rasulullah ﷺ exemplified empathy to its core in all of his interactions. He said, he is not one of us who does not have mercy on your young, on our young, and respect our elders. Sunan Abu Dawood. Whoever does not show mercy will not be shown mercy. مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ لَا يُرْحَمْ Sahih Bukhari. He shortened prayers upon hearing a baby cry in the masjid to ease the mother's distress. He comforted the sick, visited the poor, and cared for orphans and widows. He paid condolences to a little boy who was 4 years old or so, whose pet bird had just died. He consoled companions who lost loved ones or faced difficulties. He treated servants and slaves with kindness and respect. He showed empathy beyond Muslims, visiting and helping people of other faiths and other religions. Which brings me to part five, social skills. Social skills, brothers and sisters, are the abilities to communicate clearly, to build relationships, to inspire trust, to resolve conflicts, and encourage cooperation. How do you do that? It's when you and I, we listen to each other to see where I'm coming from, where you're coming from. Did you know most conflicts of the world is not about disagreements, but the tone, the tone. We've got many examples in our community. Any one of you here can just shoot one right now. I'll be sitting there disagreeing with you on something that's not really, whatever, maybe the color of the carpet or squatting a fly. And then I say to you, you're dumb. He says, well, I'm dumb, you're dumb. What, you were born from dumbness? Say, dumb, like you're a kaza. And I give him some Lebanese word. He goes, what? So he gives me a Turkish word. Suddenly we forgot about squatting the fly and the color of the carpet. What are we focusing on? What you said and he said. And some people manipulate you like that, huh? They deliberately work your emotions, knowing your weaknesses, to get you to swear and say, so that, especially when they know they're in the wrong, to change the topic and to make it, you know, about, you know, to guilt trip you. So be careful of these things. So they are essential for effective leadership and community building. The Prophet ﷺ was a master of social skills, as you know. He was able to unite tribes, counsel individuals, and create a strong, compassionate community. He said, whoever does not thank people has not thanked Allah. Gratitude to people. Thank them, ya akhi. Some of us, we say what? Why should I thank them for a duty they had to do? Doesn't matter. It's not really about them. It's not about the duty. When you thank someone, even if it was their duty, isn't it Allah who gave this people the duty and the ability to be there, and now you are served? Thank you. It doesn't cost anything. People have changed their view on Islam and faith and others just by this mere simple word. Words go a long way. The believer is easy to approach and kind, the Prophet ﷺ said. Al-Muslimu ya'lafu wa yu'laf. He's easygoing and kind. You can approach them. You're not afraid of them. Rasulullah ﷺ used to use affectionate nicknames for companions, calling them nice nicknames, not abusive nicknames, of course, making them feel valued. Abu Huraira, why is he called Abu Huraira? He used to love cats and kittens. Everywhere he went, gets cats and kittens. SubhanAllah, he was also poor and destitute. When I see our brothers and sisters in Gaza, I remember Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and Suhaib al-Rumi, and all those, and Bilal radiallahu anhu. And he used to grab cats. See them in Gaza, they grab cats, and they look after them all the time. All animals. He used to grab cats and feed them. So Rasulullah ﷺ called them, Ya Aba Hir, you know, cat man, Aba Huraira, kitten man. But in Arabic, it sounds nice, and he used to love it, radiallahu anhu. He greeted everyone warmly and smiled often. When he entered the Medina, all the children used to run to him. Children, they look at you and run to you when you're attractive and when you smile. A friend once said to me, my daughter asked, where is the smiling man? I said, moi? He said, yeah, alhamdulillah. That's something that you love to hear. He mediated disputes fairly and restored peace. He corrected mistakes privately and praised publicly. Some of us are quick online to abuse just because we can. This is insecurities happening here. He included everyone in social gatherings and made newcomers feel welcome. If they went there, they'd ask, where is he? He'd go and visit him. You know, Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu was one of the companions who genuinely thought the Prophet loved him more than anyone else. He said, Wallahi, he loves me more than anyone else. How do you know that? When I'm there, he gives me the most attention. When I'm around, he turns all the way to me. When I speak, he listens until I finish. And he always smiles to me. He loves me the most. They said, we don't think so. He says, let's go and ask him. They went, and he used to look downwards, Amr ibn Al-As. He was the one who says, I couldn't describe the Prophet's face, because when I saw him, he had a, you know, this disrespect on him. I couldn't look at him. So he'd sit with him. Say, Ya Rasulullah, who do you love the most? He said, Aisha. And, oh, okay, that's his wife. Obviously, if Khadija radiallahu anha was alive, maybe he'll change his answer. Said, who do you love after Aisha? It says, Abuha, her father. Said, yeah, and maybe it's his father-in-law. Tayyib, who's after? The hadith doesn't mean, he kept mentioning other people. Lots of people. Tayyib, where's Amr ibn al-As? Nowhere. Amr ibn al-As is sitting there. Come on, just say the first ayin at least. Nothing. So he got up and he said, I was embarrassed. I just walked away and never mentioned it again. But why did Amr ibn al-As think that he loved him the most? That's the way he made him feel. Can you imagine that between husband and wife, between children and their parents, parents and their children? Wallahi, you'll change a person like that. You can play with them like dough. But we don't want to. Sometimes it's just, it's me. I'm everything. Ya ard ishtaddi wa ma hada addi. Any Middle Eastern is here? Never heard Ya ard ishtaddi wa ma hada addi? No? Ya khalas. And I'm going to go to Lebanon and give talks there, inshallah. Anyway, when I feel that I'm everything. Finally, brothers and sisters, I want to talk about the dark side of emotional intelligence. If you have too much emotional intelligence, there is another side which you need to balance. Number one, a person with high emotional intelligence can manipulate you. Be careful about that. Some people will use their emotional intelligence, they're excellent at it, but they will use it as a weapon. And this comes from, you know, issues of psychopaths and narcissism and manipulative people who probably have some issues in their childhood or have come from traumas and things like that. And then instead of correcting and healing themselves, they'll turn it on other people. Sometimes they do it to their children, to their spouses, to their parents, to their friends, everybody. They will weaponize it by manipulating you emotionally, especially if you're a person with kindness. So it's a strategic, they strategically manage their own emotions to create favorable impressions and personal gain. How do you know that? When you see them, they're inconsistent with their behavior. Their words are inconsistent with their behavior. How do you know that? After a little while, you'll see it. Number two, they've got too much charisma. Too much. Every time you meet them, they're putting on a show and you feel you're always drawn to them. They do something. Number three, they make you feel fear a lot. How do they make you feel fear? They'll exaggerate facts to make you feel the urgency to act towards a desired direction. Did you hear what they said? They said that. And you know what else they said? They said that. And you know what else? If I was in your place, wallah. You know, I care about you. See that? I'm not the best actor, but you can imagine. This person can make something small, and you got to act. Take a step back and say, you know what, I heard you. It's pretty serious. Go think about it. Number three, they leverage feelings of guilt. They'll talk to you about your past. You know, I know, subhanAllah, you know, you've been through a lot, and in the past, remember, you know, you've stolen everything. Well, I haven't told anyone. Probably told 100 people, but I haven't told anyone. But, you know, you can improve. What I'm actually doing is I want more information from you. And I'm guilt tripping you. In case you don't give me what I want, I'll blackmail you. People do that with the emotional intelligence. Number four, they share too much too soon. Yeah, I mean, this happens a lot. I see in marriages, unfortunately. They don't give their time to know the person and ask about them, especially long-distance ones. Be careful of them. Talking from a long distance, and then they give too much too soon. Yeah, and sometimes they can be... So take your time with these people. They rely on reciprocatory reactions, meaning they'll do something small for you, and then they expect something in return or more. And then when they don't see it, after a while, bang, their monstrosity comes out. People with high emotional intelligence may become overthinkers. So manipulation, we dealt with it, but sometimes you can probably become an overthinker and they begin to lack authenticity. So you may, your high emotional intelligence may lead you to avoid speaking about it in order to maintain harmony And then you feel a feeling of disconnect because you're overthinking. And it debilitates you from taking action. So overthinking, you need to make salat, do things that calm your mind and brain down. Go and read about it. Think, okay, am I being rational? Get advice. Number three, emotional exhaustion and burnout. Too much empathy may lead you to absorbing everyone's emotions around you. Number four, it may hinder your leadership effectiveness. If you have too much empathy, you may just want peace and harmony, and so you avoid addressing tough and necessary issues, or you don't say unpopular decisions and difficult feedback because you might hurt their feeling. That's a downfall of it. Number five, potential for compassion fatigue. You drain yourself from constant exposure to other sufferings or your own, and you might struggle to translate your empathy into actions. That's why I say we watch on media all the atrocities and sufferings that happen, and we have to be aware. But at the same time, brothers and sisters, as harsh it may sound, you can't continue to look at it over and khalas. You saw it, you're aware, you're making dua. And then what happens if we continue to look at it? We debilitate ourselves, we start stopping, we say we can't do anything. And finally, it has the potential of other people misinterpreting you. If you're a highly emotional person, especially in families, you may be genuinely trying to help the other person, and then you point to emotions here and there and there, but you'll get a bit too sensitive, where the other person starts misinterpreting your attempt to understand and manage emotions as emotional manipulation. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, we have to learn to find a balance with emotional intelligence. Learn the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and read about it. I cannot emphasize that enough. Read the book that I recommended to you and do some courses on it. Surround yourself with a circle of people who are positive and are able to give you advice, and don't be afraid of taking advice. Although emotional intelligence is a modern term, its principles are deeply embedded in the teachings and examples of the Prophet ﷺ. He was fully self-aware, exercised immense self-control, and was motivated by sincere devotion to Allah. He showed deep empathy and had exceptional social skills. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us there has come to you a perfect example in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for those who have hope in Allah and the last day. So let us strive, my brothers and sisters, to develop our balanced emotional intelligence as much as we can. At the end of the day, in the old terms, in the Quran and in the Hadith, emotional intelligence just means khuluqun hasan, good character. And we all know, concluding with this Hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I guarantee a place in the highest parts of paradise, liman hasuna khuluqa, for those whose character is complete and perfected." Yeah, and perfected means it's really good. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among them. Ameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.